Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:39 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 12th. Today was a relatively quiet day across stock markets. In Asia this morning, the Shanghai A shares were up just a little, and we're halfway through the People's Congress. So we're going to get the members of the constituents of the Politburo in the next few days, and that will represent the cabinet for the next 10 years in China. And the chances are it's probably going to be a conservative bunch of people, but Xi Jinping is the sort of guy who has got his capitalist credentials from being premier, from being the governor, I should say, of Zhejiang province. And also he has his credentials for being someone who toes the line in terms of equality and the rights of workers. And the most likely outcome is that in their next five-year plan, anti-corruption measures and stamping out what are perceived to be excesses among the ruling class is likely to be one of the main priorities. And if that's the case, then that will probably be welcomed by consumers, and it is the growth of the consumer class which is the real priority. And provided that remains on track, then the chances are that we are in a bottoming region for China. Now, the Hang Seng was stronger today by about 0.21%, and the Nikkei was down a bit. It was down just less than 1%. It continues to pull back from the 9,000 level, and that's in an environment where today the yen was pretty much unchanged against the dollar, but it is stronger than 80 yen at present against the dollar. And if the dollar starts to move significantly above that level, then that should be a tailwind for the stock market. In the ASEAN section, the Malaysian market has perhaps pulled back more than most, but generally speaking, the majority of markets in that region have been really quite steady. And the Taiwanese market, which had been among one of the ones that was hit most hard, has been steadier than most in the last few weeks. The Indian banks are also worthy of mention, because while there has been this degree of uncertainty with the wider market, not least because of the flash crash that happened about 2 weeks ago, but the banking sector is quite steady, and that really is a positive. And in Europe today, the majority of markets were relatively steady, down just a tad for the majority, but the FTSE was relatively unchanged and the DAX was relatively unchanged. And the Dow Jones was flat on the day, and so was the S&P. And the NASDAQ was down about 0.2%. And I was reminded today of that old saying that really used to annoy people outside the financial sector, that what was good for GM was good for the US. Because one might say the same for Apple today. And what's good for Apple is good for Wall Street because of the size of the share and its market cap. And it was weaker today by about $4, but it remains in the region here of the May low. And Apple is important from the context of the discussion about the fiscal cliff, because it is where such a large number of people had accumulated such high paper profits. And it has been the focus of some motivated selling in the last week for a number of reasons, but perhaps most poignant is that people are worried about having to pay additional taxes on their paper profits if they hold on past the 1st of January. And the spectrum of prognostications about what the potential outcome is likely to be from the discussions between the various parties in the USA, and whether the fiscal cliff will go ahead, or whether it will be avoided, or whether it will be ameliorated by some form of compromise. And the range of opinions that are being expressed at present really run the entire gamut of possibilities. My view is that it will be ameliorated by some form of compromise, and how the market reacts to that remains to be seen. But when one looks at the type of activity that we had last week, and Apple is a good example, because it's been falling now for 7 consecutive weeks, and last week was at least possibly climactic, because it was the largest downward dynamic in the context of a 7-week decline, and we're in a potential area of support at the main idea. So there is potential that we're going to get a bounce from here. But it will largely depend on whether the sentiment towards the potential for a favorable outcome to the fiscal cliff improves or not. And that really is down to this being a very news-dominated environment. And when we look at other asset classes, the treasury markets have rallied as impressively as the stock markets have declined in the last week. And the 30-year is up to almost 152, and it was stronger by 5 ticks in here today. And gold has uncoupled from the risk assets, and it's behaving now more like a safe haven. And it was reasonably quiet in here today. It was down about $3, and silver was down 20 cents, and platinum was up 5, and getting back up to test the upper side of this 2-week range. But because gold is immutable, and because it can't simply be printed into existence, and not least because it's not where people have built up big paper profits in their trading, because the market has been largely range-bound for a year, and the people who are buying gold aren't worried about capital gains tax. They're buying it for a hedge. They're buying it as a long-term investment. They're not worried about potentially selling it in January. And that is why ETF holdings of gold continue to appreciate. And we had a question in here today, and I've given a reasonably involved answer in comment of the day, which I'll be posting in the next half hour, about the existence of gold-plated tungsten bars. And they're probably inevitable, because as gold prices appreciate, it makes counterfeiting virtually an inevitability, and it's likely to become an even greater problem the higher prices go, because of the allure that high prices will have for criminals. But it raises some peculiar problems for those who wish to hold physical gold, and by hold I mean literally hold it, because you have to not only now invest in security, but also in some way of testing what you've actually bought. And that would suggest that there's likely to be significant demand for those types of machines as prices go higher and as people lose faith not only in central banks, but in the ability of wholesalers to deliver. Because in the absence of having one of these types of machines, the only way that you can actually tell that the gold you're buying is in fact what people say it is to cut straight through it or to witness it being poured. And that is a rather difficult situation for anyone who's actually holding physical gold. And when we look at the wider commodity complex, soybeans is particularly notable. It was down today by 46, and it fell aggressively on Friday, and it's breaking downwards from the short-term range and on further unwinding the acceleration that we saw in the summer. And corn, which has been really quite steady, was down by 19 today and is down testing the lower side of this range. And wheat, which had been perhaps the most steady of them all, had a large downside downward dynamic on Friday and was weaker by an additional 29 cents today, so it followed through to the downside, and it does look like we're going to see it go lower. So there's quite a lot of weakness coming through in the grain and bean complex, And in sugar, while sugar was reasonably quiet in here today, it has been among the weakest of the soft commodities. And coffee, Robusta is potentially going to break down from this range that it's been in. So there is the potential that some of the inflationary pressures that have been manifesting themselves through agricultural commodities will soften in here. And that's probably good news for food producers, because they're unlikely to be lowering their prices. So they're going to experience some margin expansion. And when we think about the way the market is developing in here, then we remain in a very risky environment and a highly emotional environment. And there are some very extreme views circulating. And while we need to become aware of what the problems are and be cognizant of the potential that these markets could deteriorate further, it also raises the potential that we're going to get an opportunity to buy some of the shares that we really like at a discount. And in that case, the chances are that we're, just like any other crisis, is also going to be an opportunity. And when we look at the currency markets, just like gold and US treasuries, the dollar has been really quite steady. But most particularly steady against the euro and the pound. The Australian dollar has held a progression of higher reaction lows within its 3-month range for the last month, and it was stronger today by an additional 40 ticks. And the Canadian dollar is back below parity, or back stronger than parity, I should say, against the US dollar. So that is also noteworthy. But perhaps most noteworthy is the renminbi hit a new recovery high in here today, and the Asia dollar index continues to range just below the 118 level, and it's been really quite firm. In an otherwise firm environment for the US dollar, Asian currencies have been even stronger, and that is very much in line with our view that Asian currencies will continue to appreciate, but also helps to support the fact that so many of those stock markets have also been really quite steady. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.